Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Fijn dat u en dat jij kijkt en het wordt een bijzondere uitzending, want Daniel Rodriguez zingt in de Crystal Cathedral. Velen van u en van jullie herinneren zich nog die prachtige bijdrage aan onze kerstconcerten. De zingende politieman uit New York. En dan een Hollywood producer die het meest gezongen lied ter wereld verfilmde en daarover vertelt. En als gast bij Hour of Power Nederland heb ik een jonge zakenman die vertelt wat hem in zijn leven bezighoudt en wat hem boeit. Wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral en ik zeg er nog één ding bij. Denk eraan dat de zomertijd volgende week ingaat en zet je klok een uur vooruit. Oh, sorry, dit vergat ik nog. Er komt een prachtige reis naar Israël waar u als kijker aan mee kunt doen. Van 14 tot 23 oktober aanstaande. Dominee Schuller die gaat die reis leiden. En het thema van die reis is wandelen waar Jezus liep. Nou, heel bijzonder. En op onze website kun je er meer over lezen. Wij gaan voor het goede nieuws naar de Crystal Cathedral.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
God's people said, wow, it is a beautiful day to be here. And I want to give everybody an opportunity right now to share the love of God with those who are standing next to you, behind you. Would you please shake their hands and say, God loves you and I do too. Well, my wife, Donna, is with us this morning, and she's going to be reading the scriptures. My father is going to be interviewing Ken Wales, who is here to discuss the critically acclaimed new motion picture, Amazing Grace. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beauty of this day. We thank you for the beauty of your spirit, for the beauty of the people around us. For the beauty that we are surrounded with because we have received your amazing grace. And so we love you, Lord, and we praise your name. Amen.
Oh, Please be seated. Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is selected verses from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, O my soul, praise God. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Blessed are those whose help is in God, whose hope is in the Lord, our God, the maker of both the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives sight to the blind. He reigns forever, our God, for all generations. Praise the Lord. And we know that God will continue to add his blessing to the reading of his word and to the rest of this service as you worship him.
People said, wow.
Good morning. My name is Robert Schuller. I used to be one of the preachers here. And they're applauding. Thank you. Sit down. That means they liked my comment. They're glad I used to be one of the preachers. And people say, how is it like not preaching every week? I'll tell you, it's fantastic when I get to hear my son preach. He's terrific. And the pressure I've been under for 56 years since I was ordained is to have a new title every week. That's not easy. But it's great to be here this morning. Well, actually, Today is the anniversary of the launching of the Hour of Power television ministry. We are the fourth longest-running weekly television program in the United States. The others are Face the Nation, Meet the Press, 60 Minutes from the three networks, and the fourth is Robert Shuler with the Hour of Power. So thank you very much. You made it happen. Yes, you made it happen. And we are the longest-running, non-sponsored weekly show in the United States. That means it's the longest show that is supported voluntarily by gifts from the viewers. That's our greatest affirmation. Thank you for that. One of the most beloved hymns around the world is Amazing Grace. But few people know the true story behind that incredible song. That's why my guest today, a dear friend of mine for many years, the veteran filmmaker and producer Ken Wales, has put his heart's work into bringing this story to life in a new motion picture called Amazing Grace. Take a look at this.
Amazing Grace, how sweet.
What do you want with your old preacher? Saved
a wretch. I'm here to seek your advice.
Are you contemplating a life of solitude? But now, people like you too much to let you live a life of solitude. Besides,
Wilbur, you have work to do.
You're the best fighter in the house and the best speaker.
Where does this little terrier spring from?
I believe he's a Yorkshire Terrier, my lord.
One man will risk everything.
No one of our age has ever taken power, which is why we're too young to realize that certain things are impossible.
To speak for those who could not.
They do this to let you know that you no longer belong to God, but to a man.
To make the blind see.
We have no evidence that the Africans themselves have any objection to the trade.
If there is a bad taste in your mouth, you spit it out.
And to lead a movement.
We understand you're having problems choosing whether to do the work of God or the work of a political activist.
We humbly suggest that you can do both.
That would change the world.
The slave trade has 300 MPs in its pocket.
Do it. Blow their dirty, filthy ships out of the water.
If we were to outlaw the trade tomorrow, this would bring financial disaster to many of the great cities of this country.
His enemy is my enemy.
You are sleepwalking hand in hand with the rebel.
No matter how loud you shout, you will not drown out the voice of the people!
People!
Although my memory is fading, I remember two things very clearly. I'm a great sinner and Christ is a great savior.
I'm going to try again.
As your Prime Minister, I urge caution.
And as my friend.
Oh, to hell with caution.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me.
I once was blind, but now I see.
Did I write that?
Yes, you did.
Well, now at last it's true.
Unending. Amazing Grace.
Welcome with me, Ken Wales.
Thank you, Shirley.
Thank you. Ken, how did your father was a preacher? How did you ever get into filmmaking?
Well, it's a long story.
Make it short.
Well, make it short.
Drop the power name.
Absolutely. So, I began early as a minister's son. My dad was a pastor for 53 years. My mother a teacher like Christy was when I did that television series. And my parents always encouraged me to support my faith and be faithful and study the Word of God. But they were encouraging that I would be an actor and go on in. Glenn Ford was my mentor, whom you knew quite well. And also, then I was so fortunate to be chosen to spend a week with Walt Disney. And at the end of that week, Walt, who is somewhere not far from here, Walt indeed invited me to spend that week and learn from him. And he wanted to know what teenagers were thinking. So I was pleased to share with him. And at the end of it, he thought I might stand a little bit of a chance to be a filmmaker. And he sat down and pulled a piece of check from his pocket. And he wrote on it and handed it to me and said, "Ken, that's $5,000 for your tuition to the University of Southern California Cinema School. I couldn't have gone if Walt hadn't That's provided right. my college education."
Yeah, wonderful.
Very good.
Wow. Now, some people don't know the name John Newton. You think everybody knows it. And some people don't know the name of William Wilberforce. So establish the characters first.
Well, indeed. William Wilberforce was a member of Parliament at a very young age, 24, together with William Pitt, the Prime Minister of England. And this was in the 1700s. And he became a Christian. And when he did, he really had it placed upon his heart that he must right the wrongs and the bad things of the world. So indeed, his main obsession was to end the slave trade. And his second great obsession was to have a reform of manners, morals, and decency. Wow. What an ambition. So he worked those 26 years with William Pitt, and after many defeats, finally, with strength and conviction and God's blessing, the bill was passed and the slave trade was ended. Then it took him another 26 years to be able to end slavery in the empire, and he died 3 days after the bill was passed.
Wow. Okay, then there's a guy named John Newton. He wasn't a member of Parliament. He was one bad slave trader. Is that correct?
John Newton was the worst. There is Albert Finney as John Newton saying to Wilberforce, "There are two things I know in my life. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior." That's in a major motion picture.
Wow. Wow. So John Newton was a businessman. He was a slave trader and driver, etc. Was he also a good poet before he wrote Amazing Grace?
He must have had some of that in him, because when he came back to England and became a vicar in the country church, he did one morning put the finishing touches on a poem. And it was Amazing Grace, and that was a New Year's Day, 1773, and introduced it to the congregation. And extraordinarily enough, Wilberforce was befriended by Newton, and Newton said, "You must remain in Parliament. You don't have to choose between God and serving the public. You can do both." And yet today, with Wilberforce's ambition to end slavery, Bob, there are still 27 million persons in slavery around the world, even today, more than there was at that time.
Really?
Extraordinary. And Wilberforce had a second great ambition, and that was to have a reform of manners, morals, decency, and a return to civility. Can you imagine that?
That sounds like what we need today. When I was a child growing up on a country farm, I was taught manners by my simple father and mother. And all of those simple manners seems like most people have never learned them today.
We used to respect our parents. We would want them to love us and us to love them. Things have taken a different turn, and we need to go back to this reform of manners and morals. Wilberforce was a man of those times. Wouldn't it be terrific if we could bring him to be a man of these times? And we can do it. This film is extraordinary. It's the most important film I've ever been involved with in my 102 years of filmmaking. And the joy of it has been to see this excellence in a major film.
Now, tell me, didn't you write a book about the movie?
Well, I have prepared a book along with my wife Susan and another fellow, Ted Baer, and this is The Amazing Grace of Freedom. And this goes along with the movie so that you can understand how the movie was made, but get into the real wonderful facts about Wilberforce. He is a hero, Dr. Schuller, for those times, and he must become a hero for our times today. And that's why Amazing Grace is so important. And this day, you all are joining thousands, hundreds of thousands of churches and people around the world, as indeed everyone together sings this great hymn, Amazing Grace.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you, dear
friend.
For following
the Lord in what you're doing.
Blessings. Thank you.
the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the toils and snares I have already gone. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we sweet the sound, amazing
grace. En dat was Daniel Rodriguez, de man die we nog velen van ons herinneren van de schitterende kerstconcerten in december in Nederland. En wat zong hij dat toch prachtig, Amazing Grace. Overigens, dat is het meest gezongen lied ter wereld. Wonderlijke genade die een wrak als mij redden. Nou, als je dat schrijft, dan moet je wat te melden hebben. Vanmorgen heb ik als gast Bart Kuipers. Bart is een jonge zakenman, geslaagd ook. Je bent 31 jaar, gelukkig getrouwd, een kind, je vrouw is zwanger. En herken je een beetje in dat lied, Wonderlijke Genade, die een wrak als mij redt? Of zeg je van nou...
Nee, dat herken ik zeker, ja. Als ik naar mijn eigen leven kijk, dan ik heb een christelijke opvoeding gehad. En ik denk dat ik zo'n 12 jaar lang zonder God geleefd heb. Ik had echt het idee dat het mij... Dat God mij beperkte. Dat ik niet kon doen wat ik zou willen doen. Dus vandaar dat ik... iets had van, dan zonder God. En dan ga ik gewoon mijn eigen gang. En dat heb ik gedaan. Ik heb er erg van genoten. Ik heb al mijn geld verbrast. Net als de verloren zoon, om het zo maar te zeggen. Ja. En ja, echt. Het café was mijn thuis, zeg maar, in mijn studententijd. En daar heel veel dingen gedaan die eigenlijk helemaal niets met God te maken hadden. Maar ik merkte op een gegeven moment toen ik samen woonde met een meisje, dat er iets in mij aan het trekken was om weer de Bijbel te lezen, om weer naar de kerk te gaan. Maar op een gegeven moment toen dat uitging met haar, toen ben ik eigenlijk heel hard naar God toegehold. Gewoon weer teruggerend. En ook dat deed was eigenlijk gewoon door zelf in die Bijbel te gaan lezen. En op een gegeven moment las ik dat die voor mijn zonde gestorven was, Jezus. En ja, dat kun je lezen of echt lezen. Hè? En ik las dat en dat knalde echt bij me binnen. En ik moest echt huilen en God weer in mijn hart gevraagd. En ik denk dat ik op dat moment geloofde. Op een gegeven moment een vriend van mijn broertje gevraagd van, joh, je gaat toch wel eens naar de kerk in Rotterdam? Ja. Kun je me niet een keer meenemen? Dus ja, toen meegegaan naar Crossroads Rotterdam. Hele jonge kerk, bestond toen nog maar net. En daar voelde ik me erg thuis.
Bart, je bent gelukkig getrouwd met een Tsjechische. En het leuke is dat jij samen met je vrouw marriage counseling doet. Dat betekent raad geven aan jonge mensen die in het huwelijksbootje willen stappen. Wat houdt dat in, die cursus?
Het is een programma dat we afdraaien eigenlijk. We staan uit 7 lessen. En elke les gaan we in op een specifiek onderwerp van het huwelijk.
Zoals?
Conflict oplossen. Of het gaat over seks bijvoorbeeld, een heel onderwerp. Of over schoonouders. Ook een heel leuk onderwerp. En daar komt echt heel veel uit. En ik merk zelfs, sommige mannen worden dan meegetrokken met hun vrouw van, we moeten dit doen. En die komen heel kritisch binnen en zitten zo, ja, moet ik hier mee? En dan na de eerste avond, dan komen ze echt naar je toe van, ja, het is echt fantastisch. En we hebben al 3 dingen opgelost. En dat is genieten voor ons, om te zien dat het echt waarde toevoegt aan huwelijken.
Je bent een zakenman. Dat betekent knokken. Dus wordt er wel gezegd van zakenmensen, en we lezen dat ook in de krant, bijvoorbeeld bij bouwbedrijven, dat ze oneerlijk zijn, fraude plegen. Gelukkig is dat niet overal het geval. Is dat bij jou ook moeilijk om eerlijk te zijn? Want dat vraagt de grote baas van je.
Maar wat ik heel erg merk is dat je, als je zaken doet, dat een stukje duurzaamheid, om het zo maar te zeggen, dat het heel belangrijk is voor je bedrijf. Dus niet snel thuis zijn, snel winst maken, maar echt bouwen en goede contacten opleggen en investeren in je mensen ook, zodat ze later beter kunnen presteren. En dat werpt zijn vruchten af. Je hebt er geduld voor nodig, maar uiteindelijk merk ik dat zich wel uitbetaalt.
Jij hoort tot een generatie van jonge, geslaagde mensen, universiteit afgerond, goede opleiding afgerond, goede baan, ondernemer. Nou wordt dat ook wel de generatie van het materialisme genoemd. Herken je dat of misschien niet?
Nou, als ik eerlijk ben, vind ik dat eigenlijk wel meevallen als ik naar mijn eigen omgeving kijk. Ik merk dat heel veel mensen juist op zoek zijn naar veel meer. Want op een gegeven moment heb je ook alles. En dan komen mensen er toch achter dat, ja, is dit het nou? En ik hoor heel veel mensen vragen en om zich heen kijken en zoeken naar meer diepgang juist. En ik denk dat dat juist meer en meer bezig is. Dat materialisme best meevalt.
Bart, je bent een trouwe kijker van Hour of Power. Je gaat ook naar je eigen kerk. Wat vind je van de uitzendingen van Hour of Power?
Ja, de uitzendingen geniet ik erg van. Want het mooie is dat wij 1 keer in de 2 weken dienst hebben met onze kerk. Dus de andere week kan ik altijd mooi gebruiken om Hour of Power te kijken. En wat ik het mooiste vind in de diensten, maar dat vind ik ook in onze eigen diensten, is de muziek, de aanbiddingen, het zingen. Daar kan ik erg van genieten.
Bart, ik wil je heel hartelijk danken dat je hier vanmorgen was. Bij je vrouw weg, want die is hoogzwanger, hè?
Ja, klopt.
Waar hoop je op? Een jongen of een meisje? Of weet je het al?
Ik weet het nog niet.
En als je het weet, moet je het ook niet zeggen, natuurlijk.
Nee, het is mij om het even.
Oké, goed zo. Het geheimachtig geluk, volgens mij heb je dat al ontdekt. Maar het is altijd goed om je erin te blijven verdiepen. Het boek van dominee Schoelen over naar aanleiding van de zaligsprekingen. En vorige week zei ik tegen mensen, als je nog nooit naar Hour of Power hebt gekeken, dan kun je dit boekje gratis krijgen. We hebben heel, heel veel reacties gehad. Vinden we erg fijn. Een heel positief boekje. Je hebt een druk leven als zakenman. Lees eruit en ik hoop dat die gebeden jou zullen helpen.
Ik ga het lezen, dankjewel. Okay.
Bart, goede reis naar huis. En wij gaan terug. Hou je van muziek?
Ik hou heel veel van muziek.
Wat speel je zelf?
Ik heb ooit gitaar gespeeld.
Ooit?
Nu niet meer.
Maria Perez speelt nog altijd piano. Een paar maanden geleden speelde ze een prachtig stuk van Rachmaninoff in de Crystal Cathedral. En nu gaat ze weer zo'n geweldig stuk spelen.
Thank you, everyone, for making that just an incredible, incredible piece. We are talking about the 12 steps. The 12 steps has done more to help people than any other program that I know of on planet Earth. It has saved millions of people's lives, literally saved their lives. As we know that people have to reach their bottom before they can actually experience the healing and the hope and the power of Jesus Christ. Well, most of us can use, and all of us can use, the 12 steps of AA to help us become better people. Because that's what we want. We just want to be better people. And God wants you to be better. He wants to help you. He wants to help you grow. And today, I am looking at steps 8 and 9 in the 12 steps of recovery. They're probably one of the more familiar steps to people, maybe because of a comedy on television. My Name is Earl. How many, you ever seen the TV show My Name is Earl? What is he doing? He's going through his list of people with which he is making amends. And it's all about him making amends with people. And guess what? That's my sermon today, is how do we make amends with people? Well, first, let us start by finding the biblical reality to making amends. Jesus said it this way: if therefore you are presenting your offerings at the altar, and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offerings. Steps 8 and 9 says this: I will make a list of the people I have harmed by my past behavior and become willing to make amends. Then number 9, wherever it is possible, I will make direct amends to the people my behavior has harmed, except when to do so would injure them or others. When we stop and we think about making amends, there's two people we often fail to put on the list. They're the ones you don't think about right away. The first one is yourself. We often forget to put ourselves on our list of people to make amends with. We have gone through life saying, I can't. And how many times have we failed to live up to being the people God has called us to be, but instead, we've simply said, I can't. My children, when they were in kindergarten, had a tremendous kindergarten teacher. And they both had the same kindergarten teacher. And I went to both of their open houses, and I heard the same message, both open houses. And that is one of the things that I still remember to this day, because it was years ago that my kids were in kindergarten. I'm not even going to tell you how many years. It was a long time ago. And she said, rule number 1 in kindergarten is this: you're not allowed to use the words, I can't. Every time you say, I can't, you have to say, I'll try. And she said, the kids in kindergarten, they come here, and immediately everything they say is, I can't, I can't, and I have to teach them, no, I'll try. Just try it. Use the scissors. I can't. Try it. You have to color picture. Oh, I can't. No, you have to try it. Pick up the color and try it. One of the greatest books ever written was written by a guy by the name of Robert Fulghum. It was entitled Everything I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Great book. Just the basics. And one of the most important lessons we can learn from our kindergarten teacher is to eliminate those words, I can't. And how many times in our life have we been deprived, have we deprived ourselves of the blessings of God because we have said, I can't? When the reality is, you could have. I look at some of the things we have in our society today, and one of the things that always frustrates me is how long it takes to get a pair of pants hemmed. I mean, this is a real simple thing, to hem a pair of pants. They usually say it takes between 3 and 5 days when I go to the tailor. If you ask for it immediately, that's impossible. If you ask for the next day, you might get it. It's typically 3 to 5 days. At least that's the way it is in my neighborhood. However, if I go overseas into a place like Hong Kong or Korea, and I've had suits made there, do you know how long it takes to make an entire suit from scratch? 2 days. They say we can do a little better job if we have 3 days, but we can do it in two. And they will do it a great job in 2 days. And I've never paid more than $200 for a suit in 2 days. What do you mean you can't? The truth is we fail to take responsibility for our actions and for our lives. And instead of saying I can't, we have to say I will and I'll try. One of the things my wife and I know is when we invite some people to an event, we have discovered that when people say, I'll try, we immediately translate that into a no. 95% of the time, people say, can you come to this event on Wednesday night? They say, I'll try. We just cross them off. That's a no. Unless we go to the next step and tell them, well, everyone who says I'll try says never comes. It's either I will or I won't. Which one is it? In which case, we've put their backs up against the wall and they're forced to make a decision and tell us the truth. And they either do and they don't. I try doesn't translate to I will. And step numbers 8 and 9 helps us to heal the past in order to transform the present. And what we do is we begin by making a list of the people we've harmed. The first one on the list is ourselves. The second one on the list is God. We need to put God on the list because we have all harmed God. And you ask, well, how can you harm God? Let me share with you the words of God. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you? Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did to one of the least brothers of mine, you did it to me. But how often daily do we forget to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, invite in the strangers, and clothe the naked, and visit the sick, and visit the prisoned? We need to add God to our list. Only after we've put our name on the list, only after we put God's name on the list, are we then ready to start putting other people on the list. And do you know who else we need to put on that list? Every single one of us need to put our mother and our father on that list. And every single one of us needs to put every single one of our children on that list. And then from there, we can start putting other people in our past
whom we've harmed. We don't know what the ramifications are going to be when we make these lists. But the first step is actually making the list. The second step is, once we've made the list, is to actually do something with that list. And the three options we have is to write a letter, make a phone call, or visit the person and do it personally. And we make amends. In 2005, Liz Socorro received an amends letter from William Beebe. Some of you probably remember this because it made the news when she turned him into the police. When they were back in 1985, when they were both going to school, he sexually abused her. And now that he's going through recovery, he's written a letter and he mailed her the letter. And in November 2006, he pleaded guilty to sexual assault. And the state has recommended he gets 2 years for his crime. And William wants to do the time. He didn't argue with it. He didn't pull away. He wants to do the time because he knows he's guilty, and he wants to receive the healing that comes by paying his debts. What's our scripture? Our scripture is the story of Zacchaeus. And Jesus entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. And he ran on ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must stay at your house, he said. And Zacchaeus hurriedly came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, all of his disciples and everyone around them. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner, they said. And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amends. Healing our past so we can receive fullness in the present. And that's what it's all about. It's coming to a realization that we can succeed with God. Let me conclude with a prayer that I have. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will continue to help me discard all of the old bad habits and the bad feelings that I have been holding on to. Help me to take the responsibility for restoring those whom I have offended. Lord, I thank you for the future, which is full of divine help. Lead me and guide me so that I may achieve proper relationships with others. Now I thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength to be like your Son, Jesus Christ. I love you and praise your name. Amen.
May the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit give you the faith and the conviction to face your fears with faith. And may you go out with joy and find healing and hope today. Amen.
Oh,
Heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken naar deze uitzending. En niet alleen de kijkers in Nederland, maar ook in België en over de landsgrenzen in Spanje en Zwitserland wordt ook heel veel gekeken. En we vinden het fijn dat u via de satelliet kunt meegenieten van dit programma. Hour of Power is er elke week. En goed nieuws geef je door. Dus vertel het aan je vrienden, aan je familie, aan je kennissen. Elke week, elke zondagmorgen om 9 uur. Hour of Power op RTL 5. Denk er even aan. Volgende week gaat de klok een uur vooruit. Dus zet hem ook vooruit, anders mis je Hour of Power. Wil je in contact met ons blijven of wil je de preek nalezen die dominee Schuller hield over het 12-stappenplan? Kijk dan op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. En heel leuk is dat je de dienst die net is uitgezonden vanaf dinsdag elk uur via onze videokijkdienst kunt terugzien. Een hele goede zondag en graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.
How sweet the sound.